This is Roger Espinoza. Today is November 28, 2016, and I am conducting an oral history with Jean Vang and Erica Ann Garcia for Fresno State's Valley Public History Initiative, Preserving Our Story. So Jean, I'll start with you.
Okay.
What is your date of birth?
I was born October 7th, 1993.
And Erica?
March 13th, 1993.
Okay, and so Jean, where were you born?
I was born and raised in Fresno, California.
Yeah. And you, Erica?
I was born in Merced and raised in Planalto, California.
Okay, and so Jean, where are your parents from?
Our parents were originally from Southeast Asia. During the Vietnam War, they were part of the refugees that came over here during the 70s, like just at the end of the Vietnam War.
Oh, and how did they come to the United States?
My dad's father was a part of the military group that assisted in the U.S.'s operations in Vietnam, so their family was able to come to California, Santa Monica, I believe. And then my mom was, their family was sponsored by the Mormon Church, and they came through the Midwest and then eventually came to Stockton, and then eventually both my parents met each other in Fresno.
Oh, that's interesting. And Erica, where are your parents from?
My dad's from Matamoros, Mexico, and my mom is from Mexico. I'm not sure which part, but she moved to Texas at a very young age.
Okay. So, Jean, what did your parents do for a living?
My dad is part of the community here. He's the CEO currently of the Hmong International New Year. They are in charge with hosting the annual celebrations of the New Year just to maintain culture and just kind of share with the community what we are as a Hmong people. And my mom currently is a nursing assistant.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting. And Erica, you, what do your parents do?
My mom, she works at a credit union, and my dad works for a cement trucking business. He sells cement. Okay. He's one of the sales rep.
Okay. Cool. And any siblings?
I have five brothers and one sister. Yeah, I'm the middle child, the third, well, fourth boy.
Oh, yeah. And were they involved in dancing too?
I am the only dancer in the family, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And how about you? Do you have any siblings, Erica?
I have two brothers and two sisters, very big age gaps. I'm the youngest, and so I grew up a lot with my nieces. The only dancer we have is my niece, Alyssa, who does Hawaiian and Tahitian dancing.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. And so, Jean, when did you start dancing? Do you remember?
I started dancing, I want to say high school is when I actually took it like very seriously, where I actually did training and anything towards dance. Prior to that, it was just kind of like I just saw kids on the street and started imitating them, so it got hurt a lot. So I'd say high school is probably the earliest.
So high school is when you kind of took like a more formal approach?
Yeah, more formal approach and actually
started. In your childhood, were you into music a lot?
I was a very active child. I never actually just like centered it on music or art. I was just very active. Mm-hmm. So I never really thought about dancing until, like I said, high school. I never thought of it as an option.
Okay, that's interesting. And Erica, how about you?
I started dancing in middle school, officially. I was in folklorico for about 3 years. Mm-hmm. And after that, went into cheer. I did that for 5 years. And interesting enough, when I got to my sophomore year of high school, at the end of our season, because cheer lasts for 2 seasons, basketball and football, our coach said she wasn't going to come back. And we couldn't find a replacement coach, so there wasn't going to be anyone to be in charge of cheer, so there was going to be no cheer. And then an English teacher came up to us, and she was like, I would love to just sign the papers, but the thing is, you guys will have to govern yourselves and run everything. And I was just like, it's going to be very hard for a bunch of teenagers to agree on something.
Yeah.
But it was me and a junior who actually got together, because she was going to be a senior the year after, and we actually got together and choreographed all the dances and taught all the cheers, organized everything. And from there, I started wanting to get more into dance and like the behind the scenes of it, and wanting to learn more about it.
That sounds like a lot of responsibility for a junior.
A high schooler.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did it my junior and senior year. My senior year, it was a sophomore that was helping me the whole time, which was very hard because a lot of the girls who were older than her were like, why am I going to pay attention to her? And it's like, she's the one putting in the work after school. Like, I believe we did a piece to, because of the way we were doing it, the girl that I worked with, she had done hip hop formally in a studio. And so me and her worked on all the dances together. I think at one point we did like an Usher song. Mm-hmm. It's just very not cheer-ish, but they were really good. And the girls liked them, but they just didn't like the fact they were learning from someone so younger than them. And it was just, we worked on this dance, we choreographed it, we stayed after school for 8 hours just choreographing one dance. Mm-hmm. And so you're gonna listen. And from there, it was, I think that's where I learned to start teaching, because I have taught here and there, but you have to be very stern at times. It's hard to try to find that balance, especially in high school, because I was still my friends, but it was still something that I needed, I wanted to get done, because it was my name on it at that point.
Yeah, it must be hard to, you have your friends, but at the same time, you want to be formal about it, and
yes,
you want to put out a good show. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So, Jean, when did you first hear of popping? Were you always aware that, being from Fresno, that it was it always around, or did it kind of?
My community that I grew up with, it was just very much breakdancing. I've never even heard of the other dances that actually made up the whole culture of hip hop. Mm-hmm. I just saw, I guess it was just a lot of movies that I've seen, a lot of martial arts movies, a lot of kids just doing flips and jumps that I got really into it. So I wanted to learn breakdancing. So I just like I said, I saw kids on the street just doing flips and spins. So I tried to copy them, but I got hurt a lot because I never knew how to do them except just, I put my leg there. It was, I want to say, sophomore year of high school when my friends, we were contacted by the school that, hey, we want to have someone supervise you guys so you guys can be a part of the school, so we can do shows and stuff at the school. So we were all right. And I was talking to the supervisor who was making sure that we were doing pieces for school events, he didn't really know breakdancing, but he knew how to choreograph, he knew how to put some stuff together, and he did a lot of popping, and I was very curious about the way he moved. So aside from all our friends who eventually ended up doing something else, and it was just me and a few others that continued the actual high school group, I wanted to ask about what's popping, what's this, how, why do you move like that, that looks really cool. And I want to say it was that moment that it sort of opened up a gateway to what hip hop overall is, to what I actually know prior to then. So he got me in contact with a bunch of his friends who I thought that he was a good dancer, but when he showed me his friends, they were way better. It was just amazing to see the different level. Mm-hmm. Of between who I thought was good and to someone else that was really amazing. So when I first saw them, I was very young, I was very nervous. It was a dance group called On Point at the time. They were
do you remember what year this was?
I want to say I first saw them, let's see,
Roughly, it doesn't have to be.
I
want to
say 2000 and.
It has to be 12, right?
No, because it was sophomore year, and I came in 2007, so maybe 2008. I want to say 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't actually see them up until when I actually went to Fresno City College. Because after that, I wanted to do dance, but I wanted to explore more in high school, so I did sports and everything, and then I actually stopped dancing up until I went to college. Because up until that point, I still thought dancing was just like, oh, you know, this is something I could do on the side.
Yeah, it's like a hobby.
Yeah, I wanted to be a video game designer. I wanted to be computer, like, get into computer science, but I quickly discovered that was not my thing. So I was like, you know, like, what else could I do? So I went back to, like, dancing. I started taking some classes at Fresno City.
What classes did you take at City?
The classes that they offered were very classical dances, ballet, modern, tap, jazz, stuff that has been around for like centuries.
Yeah.
Just I really appreciated being able to learn from like different like dancers from different worlds. And during that time too, I also like took it upon myself to go out and search different dance groups, people who were more into like pop and break dancing and locking, anything like that. And that's when I actually found On Point again. But at that point, all of the original members, they've already like went off and did their own thing. So I was a part of the last remnants of that dance group. And in those 2 years that I was training with them, that's where I started learning more about popping than I did.
Like your whole life, pretty much.
I learned like the whole culture because my instructor, my friend at the time too, Leandre Silva, he was one of the original members of that group. He's a lot older, so he knew about like the culture of popping, how it came to Fresno, the dance move Fresno, and he started talking to me about Electric Boogaloo, how they were involved with like James Brown and some moves that Michael Jackson did, just a bunch of like mainstream entertainment stuff that took from the original popping group, and it was just mind blowing for me. There was a whole world that I didn't know existed, so I really like studied it and went with them to LA. Went to the cyphers, the little like events that they had. It was just amazing to see like a whole world that no one knows about unless they actively go and like, you know, look for like popping and locking and breakdancing aside from just music videos and TV.
And where is he now?
He's right now he's in Navy. He's in the Navy and
he's in the military
and the East Coast at the moment. Yeah. I still talk to him once in a while because he was the one that I credit to for actually teaching a lot of basics and fundamentals of popping, you know, what it is and how to appreciate it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask about mentors. Anyone that was a big influence, and it sounds like he sure was.
Yeah, he definitely was a big mentor to me. Even after he decided that he was going to take his life towards his career now, he still said that, you know, like, you're going to school for dance. Never stop like pursuing what you really want and like really understand the culture of it, because a lot of people do not understand it. I mean, even like whenever I know, especially whenever I showcase my dancing and it's just basics of popping, you know, a lot of people are like foreign to the idea, so they don't really like it, they don't understand it, and then they don't know how to respond to it, so they just go back to what they see on YouTube. I mean, you know, like, I appreciate every of the dances, but it's just kind of like, this is like, it started here, you know.
So yeah, it's really distinct. And Erica, do you like, when did you first hear of popping?
I'd say very influenced by media, TV, movies. I saw it a lot, and there's that one point in time where dance was really big on TV with America's Best Dance Crew, and I remember, like, I think that same channel, that was MTV, right?
MTV.
They started showing Red Bull BC1, which is the B-boy competition, which is... After I saw that, it's when I started doing my own research and started looking into everything, and YouTube helped out a lot, where I saw a lot of that. But when I started going to Fresno State, I did the hip-hop class they have here. And in that, I met a couple of friends that I still talk to today. We still hang out. We still kind of session in dance. But all of us got together, and we always discuss, like, oh, did you hear this is happening over here? Did you hear this is happening over here? And at one point, I got invited to On Point, which Jean was talking about. And On Point studied under Beta.
Yeah.
Beta was a crazy, amazing crew that very much liked to talk... based a lot of the stuff they did on the fundamentals of popping and locking and just a lot of the more traditional stuff. And the first time I saw them perform was when me and my group of friends went to World of Dance LA 2012. And after that, is when we heard like, oh hey, I heard On Point's having like an open like thing where everyone could come practice, and so me and my friends went, and I practiced with them a couple of times. It was very much toward the end of like Jean said, like everyone started leaving. There's only a couple people there, and every practice they had, it was just someone different basically. It was Leandre was there the whole time, but there's always someone different with him. Like, oh yeah, he was from the original crew. Oh, he was from like the second generation of it. Or, but Leandre helped out a lot, and with him, he was a great teacher because he also told you to do your own research, kind of helping hand. Like he's like, oh, go research this name or go do this, and he was pretty cool.
And in this research you guys did, like, what's like the basic story of popping here in Fresno? Like, can you tell me like the general narrative?
From what I can recall in my research that I did during the advent of hip hop, when breakdancing was very big in the East Coast and Bronx and stuff like that, the Electric Boogaloo original members, Boogaloo Sam and Popping Pete and just that whole group, they started their own dance at like the clubs. And I remember watching a video where he talked about, I think it was Boogaloo Sam, when he talked about how he was at a club and the music just made him want to do that movement pop, so he just started doing it in the club, and it just sort of like grew from there. I tried to look up as much video as I can. There wasn't really a lot of like recollection of any like video or anything. There was the only video that talked about like different dance moves that really broke down each like movement, what they were called. I can't bring it at the top of my head. It was
It was on YouTube.
yeah, it was Skeeter Rabbit. He had a set of videos that showcased different movements, what they're called, kind of like how ballet, there's the arabesque, there's the plie, like how each movement had a name. Skeeter Rabbit had a video on YouTube that I think it's still there, how he was at a studio. He talked about the style of popping, just the how it sort of evolved. Apart from that, there's just very, very little about like how popping first started. That's why I can see why it is harder for people to see it, find it, because the people that do, who are still around, the members, the Electric Boogaloo, they are still doing their stuff, trying to like educate the younger generation that this is what it is. They are still doing that, but they're not in the mainstream media. At least from what I've seen, you know. So like, let's say there's a function that's going on, that's when you actually meet people who are still doing that when they first started. But then, you know, like they're not going out and like telling like the MTV this and that, like, oh, this is where it started. If they are, I haven't seen it. Everything that I've learned was from word of mouth and just from like actually seeing those people, talking to them, getting their story. So.
I've had the same situation pretty much. I've learned from just interviews,
Yeah, just
word of mouth, like you
yeah, a
said.
lot of word of mouth that you've actually hear from people.
But they all seem to corroborate this story that it started from Fresno, so that's encouraging for our research. And so when you're dancing today in the present, like where are these functions held? Like,
A
what
lot
are
of
the
them
spots?
are in bigger cities where hip hop was really big. So like LA, New York,
Bay Area.
in the Bay Area, Sacramento.
Oh,
Like
we did a competition in
there
Sacramento.
was a competition we did in Sacramento. But wherever you go, you can definitely tell the bigger influences. Like in Sacramento, there's a lot of breakdancing influences in the Bay Area too. Locking and popping, that stuff is, from what I've seen, predominantly like very well received in LA. Because a couple of friends of ours actually did a competition over in the Bay Area, and he was the one of the main founders of On Point and Beta. His name was Phil Garvin. He does a lot of popping, a lot of animation, a lot of variation of the what popping was, but it's how it was received. It was very different from where the city you were at, the area you were at. Nevertheless, he's a very talented guy.
That's really interesting how you can tell from the distinct regions the influences on their dance stylings.
Popping is definitely I've heard a lot of the older generation talk about how they like the Electric Boogaloo. They are very well respected across seas, like in like Taiwan, Japan, Korea. It's very amazing how like everywhere else besides the U.S., there's France, like all across internationally, how like fast they picked up just hip hop overall. But I've seen a lot of my older friends, like Phil and Leandre, like they would talk about how when they would go visit Taiwan, they'd go to Korea, like they are very well respected within the hip
Well,
hop.
what do they do in Taiwan and Korea? What do they like to go teach out
Yeah,
there?
they would
Oh,
do. They
okay.
go teach, and the class comparisons to here is humongous. They'll have huge rooms of people coming in just taking
Oh,
their
really?
classes. And over here, like I don't know if like a lot of people like still remember the Electric Boogaloos, but over there
Yeah.
they'll hold competitions. There will be guest judges. It's really amazing the comparison over there and here.
So from what they've told you, it was much more well received over there in Asia than over here.
Like
Oh,
just
that's
like
interesting.
and just all over the world, aside from the US.
Yeah. It's almost as if like the hip hop and rap is emerged like just recently for them, while here in the United States is almost it's been around since the 80s.
Yeah,
So it's
definitely.
as if they're just now getting into it.
I definitely say so, yeah.
That's really interesting how they're consuming the culture just now. That's cool. And so you talked about your influence, Leandre, and when he was playing like the music that you guys he'll teach you guys popping, like what were some of the songs do you remember? Like more or less like the maybe the style of the songs, like
A lot of the songs that
there's a lot of
yeah
instrumentals
there's
that he
a
did.
lot of instrumentals that he did, a lot of jazz, jazz funk, very James Brown type of music. That's the original popping where it came from. But nowadays everything's very electronic. A lot of like there's a couple of poppers who do dubstep. There's a couple of poppers that does very like computerized voices, kind of like that Bruno Mars song, 24K Magic, the first opening, like that. There's a lot of that. So a couple of artists that we listened to a lot was Shashu. That was one of the big ones that we listened to. Just hip hop artists who DJs typing music for specifically for popping dancers. So, but I guess the pattern will probably be just a lot of instrumental. A lot of, I would say very jazzy, very,
So
what am I
like how you
thinking?
were saying the
Yeah.
Bruno Mars
Yeah, that
24,
just,
similar to
yeah.
that, just like
Just that opening
funky.
part, though, that opening part was very electronic type of voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And so who are some of the I know you mentioned your friend Leandre, but who are some of the other people that taught you how to dance? Because you said that before that you were doing a lot of breaking. So who are like some of your first people that were teaching you, like, you know, that got you into it, kind of?
The only actual training of breakdancing I've ever taken was from a guy I knew, Charles. He's really big in the breakdancing culture here. He's
What's his full name?
guy's last name, I can't think of it. It's Charles something, but his b-boy name is b-boy Goku. I know
Oh,
that.
okay. Yeah, he was at our event.
I learned a lot of like actual like teaching breakdancing. I learned from him, but prior to that, it's just kind of like what I've seen on the internet, what I've seen people do.
Where people were like, oh yeah, you just do this first and just like little pieces of things.
But actual like class forms and stuff like that, I learned from him for a bit. But like I said, once I learned popping, I just that sort of like took off from popping.
And where did you meet Goku?
He was actually friends with Dre, Leandre.
Oh,
Yeah,
okay.
they're actually really good friends because they collaborated a couple times. So yeah.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. And from my understanding, Goku, Charles, he's from East Fresno. And are you from that part of Fresno as well, or what part of Fresno are
I
you
grew up
from?
mostly around Dakota and Fresno area. like right there around Manchester Mall,
Oh, okay.
just a bit north of Manchester Mall.
Yeah.
But I grew up mostly in that area, so it took a while for me to actually get in contact with a lot of people who were really big on the hip hop and who were knowledgeable to like teach that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, because what he told us, it's really big in East Fresno breaking.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really big Hmong population.
And, oh yeah, it's huge. Yeah,
and that it's really big over there. So.
That's why I guess it's very surprising that, for me at least, if I were to perceive, it's very surprising that I'm taken off with popping as opposed to like breakdancing.
Yeah, because he told us like the Hmong are, they like kind of like been, they kept the culture going when
mm-hmm.
it was kind of like dying out.
Yeah,
that they kept it going and then. That they're like he single handedly told us like yeah they deserve a lot of credit for keeping it going
mm-hmm.
when it was fading in the late 80s.
Yeah, there's a lot of groups of breakdancers that are still active in town. Yeah,
what are some of them? Can you name a couple that are like some of the better ones you know or most popular?
The ones that I know now, they're very very old school. Like I said, I haven't been in contact with a lot of the breakdancers in town.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone, I already probably know individuals, not necessarily group names. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So, who are some of the individuals like?
I know there's an individual. He's around. He's a little younger than us. Rich Tao.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he came to the event. He's associated with Immaculate Serena and them.
Mm-hmm.
That I saw them at the event. Him and just a couple of people that I can only see faces, I can't think of names at the moment, but I know that they're still doing breakdancing and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. And so you said you were kind of practicing with your dance crew
mm-hmm.
with Leandre
mm-hmm.
and you guys still do that?
No, that ended right around the time when I finished Fresno City, so like I want to say probably about like 4 or 3 years ago.
No, you finished like 2 years ago.
With On Point?
With Fresno City, but.
Yeah, I think it was like right before I finished Fresno City, that's when everyone just sort of like stopped doing their own thing. I mean, the crew that I was a part of that, we weren't really doing any like popping like we did when I was with On Point.
Mm-hmm.
But.
In that same studio is where we ended up meeting, because we both did On Point a little bit there, but at a different point, one of our mutual friends, her name
mm-hmm.
is Sarah, decided to start a different crew, but still using that same studio, and so that's where we ended up meeting.
Yeah.
And, we did a little bit of hopping with her.
A little bit of hopping.
But not too much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what were, like, some concerts here in Fresno, like are there any live performers that do popping that come to do events here in Fresno that you know of?
Not that I've seen, no.
No.
Anything that's that's held here is like breakdancing. Breakdancing is like dominant here.
Okay.
Yeah, if there's any popping at all, like I've never seen it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what are some of these breaking events?
With Fresno alone, there's very few in between. As of late,
mm-hmm.
It just seems like a lot of like the hip hop culture here by itself hasn't been as active as it once was.
There's a lot of people trying to bring it back, but from what we've talked about and we've noticed is not a lot. There's so many different dance influences here in Fresno. Like there's so many studios, there's so many opportunities to dance, but a lot of people don't want to work together.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of just, oh, I think I'm going to stay on this side, or I'm going to stay on this side, or we're going to throw an event. Oh, well, we'll have a workshop the same day. And there's not a lot of community within the dance community here in Fresno.
Yeah.
Because there's that hip-hop event that guy tried to put together for
yeah.
Fulton 55,
mm-hmm.
which we performed at, but it was very rushed. And
yeah.
toward the like, he did really well working with what he had, but there was a lot of things that got pushed back, and so it got really late, and
mm-hmm.
I think we ended up going on like 2 hours after time
yeah.
Said we would, but it's just there's just not very much community in it anymore.
Mm, that's interesting because mm-hmm. a lot of people that I've interviewed so far, they were like involved in the 80s when popping was really big here in Fresno. They were like teenagers in the early 80s, and they told me pretty much the opposite, that it was a lot of community, a lot of unity, that everyone was at the same spot on the weekend doing their popping, breaking, just all these other dance forms. It was just all at Roding Park, Butler Park, that Friday nights, no matter what, Christmas time, any time of the year, that they were holding events there all the time, and it was just, it was a huge deal, and that there was a lot of unity, that everyone was supporting each other, like they're getting a lot of support from the community to hold these events and do all these. So it's interesting to hear that it's kind of reversed, and now there's not as much of that.
It's very hard to see.
It definitely is, if you don't actually like see from behind the scenes, because a lot of the reasons why the from what I've observed when I was with On Point, when the group started to like disperse, a lot of the members, they felt like it was kind of, I guess for the lack of a better term, pointless to continue trying to like educate and like do things in Fresno, because it's sort of like, for I guess paraphrasing what they've said, it was kind of like a vacuum, you know, like that's what, like everyone here who wants to do anything, oh, let's go to LA, let's go to Sacramento, let's go to San Fran, like what they have there is a sense of community, and everyone here like doesn't seem to be wanting to work together to emulate the community that they have over there. So a lot of the older members, they there's a lot of back and forth with the younger generation, the older generation. So it's just they all kind of just went towards where it's like-minded thinking, where a lot of our friends now who have taught us, who are older, they are now out in like LA, Sacramento, doing things outside of Fresno, but they were originally from Fresno. So it's kind of disheartening to see that. And like Erica said, there is a couple of people who are in town who are trying to do things, but there's still, from what we've seen, there's still a lot of like separation.
Yeah.
Like we said, there's so much talent here. There's a lot, but everyone, after they've noticed they have talent, they're like, okay, well, I have to move because there's nothing here for me in Fresno. And I mean, we're at the point where we're thinking about moving because there's more opportunities.
Another place, bigger markets.
And we would love to. We've been discussing about throwing an event here before we leave, just to try to get that sense of community back. But right now, it's very much dying out.
From my understanding, there's one. Someone here locally is having one at Butler Park in like middle of January. I don't know if you guys heard of that, but
that's the thing too. A lot of people, a lot of things that come out, we hear later on, like, oh, you didn't hear about this event? Like, no, like, I feel like there's not enough behind it.
Yeah, not a lot of, like,
the media.
Media or marketing or, like oh, tell your friends. So, like, it's... Yeah.
It's more, if someone throws something, it ends up just being the group of people they hang out with or they know, and it doesn't spread to the other ones because of the lack of community. And that's, it just, it really sucks to see, like we said. Because we love dance so much, and we try to go to all the events that we can, because...
Yeah.
We're not just based off of one crew. We're both just dancers wanting to learn more and more and more.
Yeah, so it's interesting to hear, like, all the pioneers aren't really in Fresno anymore. They took the path that you guys are considering of going to these other places that have, like, much more embrace towards hip-hop culture. That's interesting. So... like when you were like today in the present, like how much time do you spend practicing dance, would you say?
Well, I'm a dance major, so half my day is just dancing. It's not so much hip-hop as it was before, because I'm trying to finish my bachelor's, but definitely, like, I still keep myself involved in the world of hip-hop, whether it's like friends that who are not in Fresno, people who are in Fresno, I try to keep up with it.
Okay, so, and you, how many hours do you, would you say, a day?
It's very hard to put it, because right now we are just working to try to get enough money to move, and so I've put it a little bit on the back burner, but anytime I get the chance to, I will, like, session with my friends, or we have our apartment set up where there's mirrors in the front, so we can Because we've choreographed for a couple different things here and there, and we'll dance together just in our living room, trying to put things together.
Yeah.
And do you guys teach people?
We have in the past.
In the past, yeah.
But not currently.
Not currently, no.
Mm-hmm. No.
Right now we do just random little things. Like we did some quinceañeras here and there.
Oh, okay. That's funny.
Yeah.
And did you ever try, well, I know you have, but like what dance forms have you guys done, like all of them, like other than popping and breaking and...
I've done folklorico, cheer, a little bit of hip-hop, not as much formally as he's had, but right now we're both actually in a Hawaiian dance group here in Fresno, which it's nice to, like what we've been trying to do is get back to the basics of everything, and with hula there's a lot of, it's very cultural, and it's nice to see it. Certain things help you out with other things. Like in folklorico, for me, it was a lot of footwork. And that's helped me out with my footwork a lot.
I'm not familiar with folklorico. What is it like?
It's the Mexican dancing with the big dresses.
Oh, okay.
It was a lot of footwork. And then with hula, it's a lot of isolating, which I didn't really consider it. Like you think you just see people moving their hips, but... it's moving your hips without moving any other part of your body. And so I think that's helped me with isolation more.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think, Jean?
I've done ballet, modern, tap, jazz. I've done a lot of contemporary work, hula with Erica, a couple of cultural dances in my culture, Hmong dancing. But everything just sort of comes together, like especially for ballet, that's definitely helped out my flexibility, my coordination and balance. Modern has very, I've seen at Fresno State here, anyone that does do hip hop, they gear towards modern a lot from what I've seen, because it's very grounded. You are, you activate muscles that are not the same, but very similar to the muscles you use in hip hop. Because it's very contrast to ballet, because you're very, you work with the inside out, you are grounded more, like I said, you work with the different spaces around you differently than you do ballet, because ballet you also do, you work with spaces. I want to say all those dances that I've done has definitely, they all help out each other in one way or another. Yeah.
They all complement each other,
yeah,
it sounds
each other.
Like.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you feel while performing?
I don't know. There's just something about being on stage that is almost like euphoric. Like it feels really nice to be on stage. It does. Whether I'm doing like school performances here or like any hip hop thing we do, like just being on stage and being able to like showcase your skills is just really amazing. Like. If I can get a chance to be on stage, I would take it.
And for you, Erica, how did it feel while performing?
It's almost like it's not getting nerves every time. Like, no matter how many times I've performed, I still get excited to perform. It's like a rush. Me and one of my friends talked about it before, and for a lack of a better term, it's almost like a high. Like, you get this such excitement, such a rush, just going out there. Like, because sometimes you just work for months for one piece, that only lasts a minute and a half, and just to go up there and put it all up it's such an amazing feeling. Like, it's just like a rush.
Okay. And Jean, how does it feel like when you're performing and the crowd responds like in a really receptive, positive way?
I think
applause.
For me, I used to really like it whenever there's a lot of cheering and stuff like that, but because we just went to the Nutcracker, and the etiquette, depending on the dancing and the culture and the context, it's very different. I remember when I first choreographed a piece at Fresno City, it was a hip-hop piece, but the environment was just so different from what I was expecting, so there wasn't a lot of like cheering and clapping, so I was very nervous. I started freaking out. But it was just because, you know, in that sort of environment, classical environment, you had to be, there's certain times when you clap, you have to be respectful, a little more reserved. But, you know, in like environments like hip hop, where there's a lot of cheering, there's a lot of like, you know, just like really like hyping up the whole like event. It's just, I would much like to prefer the more hyped up environment as opposed to the little more reserved.
Yeah.
It's sort of like I'm feeding off the audience's energy, and you were sort of like, you know, interacting with the audience.
And for you, Erica, how do you feel when you hear the crowd reacting in a positive manner?
It honestly almost, it's like running a mile. Like when you're a little, like you're halfway through and you're kind of tired, but you're still doing it. And then you hear the crowd responding so positively to something that you're doing, and it just makes you push harder and like feel like you haven't broken a sweat at all yet, even though you've been working your body so hard.
Yeah,
it feels like it would give you like adrenaline almost.
Yeah.
That's cool. And did you ever battle anyone? Like, you know, you did a lot of breaking. You said, like, battling is, like, really common in that.
Yeah. The
dance battles.
I've done probably, I want to say, two battles that in my time of doing popping. I've done one freestyle battle in Fresno. Actually, they were hosting a breakdance competition, but they had a section where there was all styles. That's where nowadays a lot of popping has been put into, just all styles. I was
so
a
it was
part
like
of,
a competition.
Yeah, right? it was a competition. After the breakdancing section concluded, they held the all styles competition where you know, just anything goes. So I participated in that. And earlier on to that, I also participated in a competition in LA. It was me and my friend Dre against two other couples. It was the everyone took about 30 seconds showcasing, and then you just go back and forth until each partner was able to complete, and that was just their prelims. So that one, the environment, both environment was very crazy, because you go from one environment where you're doing people aren't really familiar with, and you go to another environment where people know what they're looking for. It's very, very like nerve-wracking. I mean, it was very, very fun, because you know, like, you know that people in the LA environment that I went to, they're like, oh, you know, like, they know what they're looking for, they know what is you're doing, if it's right or not. And as opposed to the Fresno one that I didn't hear, like, I could have done anything. And if it's to the crowd's liking, then I got a good response. So so far, just those two are the ones that I've done as far as, like, battling.
Mm-hmm. And how about you, Erica? Did you ever do any dance battles?
Not very much. I haven't really done any battling. More just sessions where people, like, all right, 30 seconds and showcase what you have, and just everyone going through more that kind of thing.
So just less ciphering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And Jean, what advice would you give someone that's just wants to start dancing, like they're, you know, pretty young?
I'd say definitely learn the culture, because you definitely appreciate it more for what it is. I feel like a lot of young people are trying to like be the next like Chris Brown, the next Usher, when like, you know, like, you gotta figure out the fundamentals. You gotta figure out what was already laid out before you. You know, it's kind of like that saying goes, you don't try to reinvent the wheel. Mm-hmm. You know, you take what was laid out before you and you try to make something more than what it is. And but I just feel like there's not a lot of awareness. So definitely, like, do your research. That's what my friend Leandro told me. Just do your research. You definitely like feel a part of it more than if you don't.
And for you, Erica?
I would say definitely the same thing. Do your research. There's so many resources that so many people don't utilize. And there's so many things out here, so many people willing to help anyone going toward the arts, like whatever it may be. And whether it's singing or dancing, and there's so many things here in Fresno that people can start out with, and so many good groups that people just don't go to because they've never heard of them. And just do your research, because there's a lot of people willing to help here.
Okay, cool. And so, Jean, did you ever get injured while dancing?
I actually got injured more breakdancing than I ever did popping. especially because breakdancing requires specific types of muscles that, it's very acrobatic, very gymnastic-like. I actually pulled my lats muscles doing a backflip, but again, that was during the time when I didn't know what I was doing. I just sort of like pulled it as far as I can until my feet touched the ground. So I got hurt doing that.
Crazy.
Yeah.
For you, Erica, do you ever get injured?
Not too bad, just little things here and there, like not doing anything properly, like he said, like not stretching before certain things and not knowing the proper stretches to do, like for doing back bends and back flips and stuff. After after you do anything like that, you should also roll on your back to help it not get sore or anything. And I didn't learn into that till way after. I mean, there's one time where I twisted my ankle. That was in cheer, and we were throwing people up. I was one of the flyers, and they dropped me. That's probably like the only major injury I've had.
And this question has something to do with that, but I think I know the answer already, but I'm gonna ask it anyway. Like, what are like some of the more physically demanding dance forms that you tried? I think it's probably breaking, but
Breaking and ballet.
breaking and
Yeah,
ballet.
because
Why?
I had to put those two up there because of all the dancings I've done, those two are the most physically demanding in their own different ways.
How so? Can you describe?
Break dancing, I want to start off with that. It's a lot of upper body strength. It really is. But then it's a lot of upper body strength with a combination of flexibility and just momentum and timing. Because there are a lot of break dancers with different shapes and sizes, and they are, and every one of them that I've seen has pulled off amazing like techniques. Whether it's like they're spinning on one hand, they're like landing on their elbows and still maintaining that shape. Like it's a combination of a lot of things. With ballet, it's the same in a sense where you have to maintain balance and do your strength, flexibility, knowing your center and your core, and just executing the right movement at the right time and the right position of your limbs. Each thing in ballet and breakdancing, they're so precise that anyone who thinks that they can go in it to just sort of like muscle it out, it's like they're gonna be surprised.
And for you, Erica?
I'd say anything that has like specific, like Jean said, like where you have to be at certain spots. Like I did not expect ballet to be like, because it the way when I did beginning, I've only done beginning ballet, and I've done other dances. I was like, oh, okay, like it seems pretty simple, and even though it's just very simple and basics that I've been doing, it's very demanding of certain. Like you wouldn't expect just having your foot here would make you sore the next day. And the cultural dances that I've done with Florico, that like I said, it was a lot of footwork, and I did not expect I did not realize how weak my ankles were until I did Florico. And then with the Hawaiian dancing that we're doing now, it demands a lot on your thighs because you're bent the whole time.
Like knees bent?
Yes, the whole time you're like squatting, no matter what you go, because the whole point of it is to isolate. You're not supposed to move your upper body. In order to achieve that, you have to be bent the whole time. So you don't, like, even when you go down and come back up, your head's not going up and down. You have to keep your knees bent, and the whole time you're just, it's pretty
Yeah,
demanding.
that makes sense.
Yeah.
So Jane, when you're first starting out, and I'm sure you know everyone when you're beginning, you're not at the level of other people that you see around you. Would you see like people that were just at such a high level? And if so, did that ever discourage you? Like, okay, I'm down here, and how am I going to close that gap?
It's a lot more specific if I were to put down like what discouraged me. I whenever I see anyone who's really good, I was very inspired. Like I wanted to like talk to them. I wanted to like, hey, let's train together. What are your ideas? And just sort of like, what allowed you to do that specific movement? But when it comes to discouraging, I guess I get more discouraged with like the young prodigies, only because I feel like I could never, because when you're younger, your body's more flexible. You're able to do things a lot easier than as opposed to someone who's a lot older. So I want to say that I'm more nervous about whenever I'm dancing around younger people, only because I feel like dancing is very demanding, and that if I'm not careful, my career could just end like that, So, but that's probably the only thing that I would consider discouraging. But I know that seeing that should just inspire me as opposed to discourage me,
Okay, that's interesting. And for you, Erica, did you?
Well, I can be a little competitive. And so anytime I did see anyone really just amazing, just blow you out of the water kind of thing, it made me want to work so much harder. And it's very hard to see, like Ajin said, see younger kids doing something when, there wasn't always resources to do it when you were younger. Like, at my part, it was kind of because growing up in the small town of Planada where I did, there wasn't a lot of things out there, and because the whole town is just basically farming.
Planada, isn't that out there by Merced?
Yeah, you have to go to Merced to do anything. Like, and Merced's 15 minutes away. So even now, like, I still have little things from that. Like, I'll tell Gene, "Oh, I gotta go to town to go get this." He's like, "We live in town." And it's just such a hard concept for me, because beforehand, like, before I did anything, was a 15-minute drive. We had to drive everywhere to do anything. And, there's a lot of kids with a lot of opportunities, and they start so young, and they're able to grow so much, like, from that. And it's hard to see someone start at such a young age when we started so much later. But there's so many people who have started later and are amazing as well.
And Jean, some of the better dancers you were around, when you seen them doing a certain move that you didn't know about, would you ask them to, show you the ropes, kinda? Like, show
Definitely.
you?
Once I get past the whole being intimidated, I definitely talk to them and just try to ask them. Aside from just asking, "Oh, how do you do that?" I ask them what are the specifics, because I don't want to just imitate it, because obviously everyone's body is different. So I want to make sure that how they go about executing that move and how I can imitate that, if that makes sense. I definitely try to learn as much as I can, because you're we're always students. You're always learning. You're always trying to better yourself. So I definitely hold that to heart when I try to ask someone how they execute any specific movements that just wow me.
And for you, Erica?
Same thing. If anyone does something that just looks amazing, I ask them, like, "How do you do that?" And, like, if they can teach me, or just like little things. A lot of it, someone will be like, "Oh, we have to start out doing this," and I'll do that for a while before I go back up to them and say, "Okay, so what's the next step in doing it?"
And who was the best, couple dancers you guys that you ever seen,
I want to say right
live?
now,
Popping,
yeah,
Mary
popping
Poppins.
Mary Poppins. She's an amazing female popper.
Yes.
I believe she's from the UK. I think she's French. I met her one time. She's an amazing, amazing woman. Very humble. A lot of the very good dancers, they're very humble. I really respect that. A lot of girls, you don't really see them in hip hop, because you just don't really see that with break dancing and popping.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's
Male
very much, yeah, very
dominated.
male
Yeah, it's
dominated.
mostly like they're just background
Yeah, but
dancing,
with
that's
her,
it.
she's just amazing with her movements, the way that she makes these shapes. And for, I guess, the other popper that I can think of is Slim Boogie. Just the way he's so tall and thin, and just the things that they get into, the shapes that they get into, and it's just amazing. Yeah, and they can make something so simple look so amazing. Because I know that whenever I get nervous, I freak out and try to do things that I can't physically do. But for them, they could just move their elbow a couple of degrees, and it'll look amazing. So,
Like the subtleties
yeah, just
almost.
the subtleties that they get into is just
The
amazing.
control.
Yeah, the control, definitely the control.
And where is Slim Boogie from?
I believe he's from LA.
Oh,
I think, cause
okay.
when I last saw him a couple of years ago compete, we were in Long Beach, so, and then I think somewhere else in LA. That's when I saw him again at the same time with Mary Poppins. But yeah.
And you, Erica, the best dancers you've ever seen live?
Live?
Yeah.
I haven't seen too many dancers live. But I will say, like, going back to Mary Poppins, it's very, like Jean said, it's very male dominated being in hip hop, and that's what we're both basically focused on. And it's hard to see a lot of the women that are in hip hop kind of just go toward more like choreography, where they just move their hair around, or very much
Whacking, yeah.
whacking, or like very much sexify the type of
Yeah.
dance. And with Mary Poppins and Ai Hasegawa, she's not a popper, she's just what would you she's just a hip hop dancer.
I think they call it there
Okay,
was a
what
word
would you
for
categorize it?
there was a word for it. I know Keone and Mari they put a word to it. I did a research on that before. It was
I heard him say like modern something.
something like that. It's
Yeah.
a it's a studio hip hop style dance, more mainstream stuff.
But
Mainstream stuff.
with her, the one I was talking about, she, the way she moves, the angles that she does, you wouldn't expect that to be like a good move, and then you see her execute it, and it's just like it's something so simple done so well, and based off the music that, because all the dances she does, like it's very much catered to the music. And it's more like the music is taking her instead of just, oh, I'm gonna put this move here, this move here, this move here. And there's people who do that and like, oh, well, we can do this dance but to a different song. And for me, it's more of a personal thing. It's when you're choreographing to a specific song for a specific reason. You're trying to get some sort of like, oh, this dance is because like it's meaning this or this. And it's very hard for me to like, when people like, oh, okay, let's just switch the song or let's do this, because I choreograph very specifically and I love the way she moves.
And Jean, what is your favorite part about dancing?
I want to say the just being able to express yourself artistically. There's something about dance that I can't explain, but it just takes me outside of my body. You know, like it definitely makes you. For me, it makes me just forget a lot of things and just kind of like be in the moment. Because how I carry myself, I'm in the process of making sure that I don't always live in the future, live for tomorrow. I try to like ground myself and make sure that I know how the saying goes, stop and smell the flowers. Because I have a lot of people tell me that I'm always rushing and rushing. I'm not really focusing on the journey, and I do struggle with that. But when it comes to dancing, whether it's like on the whether it's I'm cyphering with my friends or I'm in the studio practicing some dances, like there's something about it that makes me feel grounded and in the moment and just kind of really see like the world right now. So
Would you say that dancing has a therapeutic effect? Almost like it, does it relax you? Does it give you
definitely,
peace?
yeah, it does. It definitely gives me some sort of therapy. And just the message with it too, how like no matter who you are, where your upbringing is, like dancing just comes, like it speaks to me, and it speaks to other dancers that come from different backgrounds. Like there's a lot of dancers from across seas that will come to the functions in LA that I've been to, will not say a single word, but at the end of a session, you'll shake hands as if like you know each other for like forever. And it's just
Yeah, it's like a
it's amazing. Yeah,
bonding
it is. It's
experience.
amazing.
Yeah, it sounds like it's brings people together. That's one thing I've come to appreciate it from the. I obviously listen to music growing up, but I never really danced or anything like that. But one thing I've noticed from just doing a lot of these interviews and research is that how it unites people, how it doesn't matter where you're from, like rich or poor, it brings everyone together because all you need is music and that's all you really need to get started. And Erica, for you, what's your favorite part about dancing?
Honestly, it's the thing that just for me just makes me keep going, because there's a point where I wasn't dancing for about a year and a half and I was just miserable. I honestly didn't know what was wrong at first. It was like I was gaining
And why
weight
did you
and
stop dancing?
It was work and school, getting my own apartment, kind of
just
life hitting
life,
you.
yeah.
You know, real life problems. And I didn't know what was wrong. I just always felt like there was something, like it almost felt like there was a rock on my shoulders the whole time. I just felt dragged down, and I started dancing again, and it felt so good. Like, it just felt so amazing to be dancing again, and it just, I don't know, it makes me happy. It's the thing that makes me happy.
And Jean, do you hope to inspire others to dance?
Definitely. I definitely have that in mind. I want to be able to learn and just soak up like what the world has to offer and like the field of dance, and just bring it back and just share to others and inspire them, and hopefully, make it easier for them to pursue what I am pursuing also, so that they can, continue the legacy of teaching others and just kind of sharing the knowledge.
And you, Erica, do you hope to inspire others to dance?
Oh, definitely. sorry. I definitely want to inspire people. It was very hard to start out and wanting to, like I said, coming from a small town, like there wasn't very much there. And telling my mom, oh, I want to try this or try this. The only thing I could do was the cultural dance, which was folklorico, because that's the only thing they had there. And to be able to show everyone, like, especially now the way technology is, and there's YouTube where you can teach things, and like if you want to pursue something, it's there and you can do it, and I want everyone to be able to know that.
Cool. Okay, this has been Roger Espinoza for Fresno State's Valley Public History Initiative, Preserving Our Stories.